It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. It's a full house in the studio tonight, and every name in the building begins with a J. It's kind of crazy, but it's the truth. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into some Southern Miss Louisiana Tech talk after the big victory on Saturday.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com.
36-13, Louisiana Tech was victorious in the rivalry in Dixie. I love that name. I wish they would come up with it. They would get a trophy, kind of like those big rivalry, the regional rivalries.
Yeah, something
needs to be done.
If it's a rivalry, you ought to be playing for something.
Well, maybe considering the states we live in, maybe a big giant gold skull can.
Oh no, oh, negative. Yeah. I would like to see maybe something similar to what the Arkansas LSU, where they have the Arkansas on the boot, and then maybe do the two states together.
Well, but what shape does that make? It doesn't make a boot.
It's a square.
Right.
It's pretty close to a square, and you put a star on both Hattiesburg and Ruston. Now, what's wrong with that?
Nah.
Boring.
Surely we can come up with something better than that.
Well, when you think of the term Dixie, not really good things come to mind.
That's true.
So, when you do anything that is synonymous with the word Dixie, unless you're going to do a big red Dixie cup...
Hey, that's pretty cool.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Well, of course, Louisiana Tech victorious, like I said, 36-13 Saturday in a game that really wasn't even that close. At halftime, yes, the score was 16-6, but Southern Miss never really could do a ton offensively.
I watched them the week before against Marshall. They're just limited.
Their offensive line's worse than Tech's.
Yeah, they're so young up front, they can't block anybody.
Well, they got two seniors on that offensive line, believe it or not. Yeah, you would never have known it.
Yeah.
Four interceptions, three by the freshman quarterback Nick Mullins, one by Tyrone Holmes.
Wide receiver.
On a double pass.
Yeah.
Adarius Barnes showed what he is capable of doing Saturday. I mean, LeVander Liggins was out. Adarius Barnes moved to his spot. And Adarius will be in his spot again Saturday because LeVander's still out. I don't exactly know what LeVander's injury is, but I'm going to guess it's turf toe. That's what he's struggled with for a really long time.
Of course, unofficially, but I have been told that it was turf toe.
And that's what it has to be.
I mean, he's been suffering from turf toe since his senior year of high school. So...
it has to be turf toe, and that is no joke. It's kind of like that plantar fasciitis. It's just you don't think that something that small on your foot would keep you from playing, but folks, it is painful. So LeVander Liggins will be out against Rice on Saturday, and Adarius Barnes, who have had two interceptions against Southern Miss, and Bryson Abraham, who had two interceptions against FIU the week before, 2 weeks before. We'll play opposite him, and then Ahmad Wallace and Colby Brown will rotate in as needed at corner.
And the passing game,
yes. Jason, ladies and gentlemen, he's back with us.
The passing game is not necessarily the main thing you've got to worry about. You've got to worry about 6'5" Jordan Taylor, who leads them in receiving. He's got 40.
We're not talking about Rice yet.
I'm thinking ahead because Liggins is out.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
And so you've got your two. Your second, third quarters are tight.
Rice is very tight and loaded, and that's what they like to do. I mean, you think about Tech's last year against them with the two tight end seam routes that went for touchdowns.
Right.
Yeah, well, Rice's top receiver is Jordan Taylor, 6'5", 210. He's got 40 receptions. Nobody else has more than 20.
Is he listed as a tight end?
No, they've got a tight end, Connor Cole. Connor Sala, 6'4", 235. So they're really big. They're running back, 6'1", 230. Charles Ross, he's had some good games recently. They're 18th in the country in rushing. So you've got the one big target to worry about in receiving, but the run game is where they really kill people.
And then when you look back at Southern Miss, they did have the big tight end who didn't have great hands, but he is huge. I'm looking for that for his name. I think it was Chris Briggs. He went for two catches for 38 yards, 19 yards a catch. But, I mean, he had three or four of them hit him in the hands. And
you're talking about Dominic Sullivan, 6'4", 208?
Nah, it's Dominic Sullivan's an outside receiver. He was a quarterback out of high school. I remember Tech recruited him.
Well, and Briggs was from, like, Salmon or something, or Franklinton. I remember him playing down in Louisiana.
He was from Franklinton.
He's not showing up on their depth chart that I found.
Of course,
they don't show a tight end either.
I'm pretty sure he is their quote-unquote tight end. Yeah, 6'5", 214 out of Franklinton. He is the guy that will be their tight end. He is in his junior year right now. He just doesn't have real sure hands. He's only got one touchdown in his career, but he's a big body. Only four catches on the year, but two of them came against Tech, and that's a concern for Louisiana Tech. Whenever you talk about Rice. But when you look back, when we are talking about the Southern Miss game first and foremost right now, Tech only had 158 yards passing. It was Scotty Young. Ryan Higgins was unable to go. 22 for 37, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and 158 yards. As many as seven drops. So you put that, make that 29 of 37 for 220 yards. And that's a pretty dang good game. When you're asking a quarterback in this offense right now to go out there and manage the game, you don't have big play receivers, so he has to go out there and minimize mistakes and lead the offense. And when you've got a guy like Kenneth Dixon, feed the horse, 25 carries, 207 yards, one touchdown, 8.3 yards a carry. He was special Saturday.
And it seemed like his ankle just wasn't bothering him as much. He was running a little more, I wouldn't say recklessly, but he's not as worried about it. And so he's just bouncing off people and cutting better. And you haven't seen that in a long time.
You know, a guy like Kenneth is at 5'10", 220. You think that his conditioning would be a concern. And whenever he has a long run, it is time for him to come out. But he is 5'10", 220, and he's just run a 60-yard, 70-yard wind sprint. The majority of people in this world, if they ran a 60 or 70 yard wind sprint, they're not going to be ready to go do anything else.
I, for one, wouldn't be back in the game. No sitting out of play, no sitting out of series, not even a quarter. I would come back next week.
You'd be in a fetal position underneath the bench.
Well, I don't know about the fetal position. I don't know if I would have enough energy to curl my legs up to that position.
The game Saturday, as far from an officiating and a penalty standpoint, was really strange. To say that the officiating was not good is an understatement, but I think we're kind of used to that. Being in the non-AQ world of football, it's going to be that way. It's bad officiating.
Yeah, but Conference USA has been so much better than the WAC to me.
I don't even know. It's kind of like the lipstick on a pig thing. It's still a pig. But the thing that really hurt the game in the second half was all the stoppages of play. The Conference USA director of officials was in attendance. I wonder why all the stoppage of play was happening.
Well, yeah, and then you had all the TV timeouts. The game just dragged on forever.
And Coach Holtz even mentioned, he said, normally after a turnover, you're not there. They don't go to a TV timeout, and they did it to him twice, if not all four times. They went to a TV timeout. That a turnover is a momentum gainer for the other team. You're supposed to be able to go right into it and continue your drive. But CBS Sports Network had other plans. That's when TV, as I've said many times to people on the sidelines of a football game, TV has ruined college football. If you're there spectating, college football is terrible on TV. When that guy with the red hat and the red gloves rolls out on the field, everybody wishes they had a sniper rifle.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, TV is obviously great for promoting the game, but if you're in the stadium, it sucks.
Miserable.
It sucks because it drags it out. It's so slow. Southern Miss, you know, I mentioned they were young and overmatched. I mean, Will Freeman, a defensive end that Tech recruited 2 years ago, he was 6'6", 215. 2 years later, they got him listed at 6'6", 265, but not playing defensive end. They got him playing inside. I mean, that's just tiny. And their offensive line, they're showing – they're older than I thought. They've got a junior, a senior, and two different redshirt sophomores, and then one freshman. But, you know, 285, 290,
they're gonna have
280.
They're going to have to look to the junior college ranks in order to fix that offensive line.
It's yeah, because they're pretty smallish, and I think Tech was able to, you know,
is the center a senior or a junior?
He's one of the third year sophomores. Garrett Clark, one of the guards, was a senior.
That poor center was manhandled all night.
Well, Ellis was the. A lot of times you would see the center and one guard trying to double team Ellis, and he'd shove both of them back on the quarterback.
That was probably in my opinion that was his best game as a Bulldog. And I know that he was going against a subpar offensive line. But he wreaked havoc in the backfield. Opening play of the opening play for Southern Miss offensively, Big Jelly lands on the quarterback with every ounce of his being.
Oh, he's still feeling that today. You know he is.
IK trips the quarterback up, and really Jelly had been cut on the play. Which was they tried to do that a lot to try to neutralize Tech's defensive line, but I think they recovered pretty well from it. He got up and made the sack. So
the only sack of the game
for Tech.
Yeah. Two things that y'all mentioned, and y'all were talking about Southern Miss. One of them is you said that Southern Miss is going to have to go to the JUCO ranks to fix their offensive line without actually calling the name of Southern Miss. And then you also said that the center was being manhandled all night. And really, you could say both of those things about Louisiana Tech. Vince Cano, center, boy, he's just...
He didn't have a good game.
It's rough.
What is the D-tackle? I don't have that depth chart pulled up. The D-tackle for...
For Southern Miss?
For Southern Miss. What's his name? The big boy.
Their nose guard is Kyrie Thorne, 6'3", 308.
And he can play. He had his hands full with him.
Well, it was just like the first game against North Carolina State. They had a big 310-pounder, and we've just seen it the whole year. I mean, it's Cano's first year to play center. And he and Carter just, you know, they've struggled this year. Then you see at the end of the game, they put in Alec Davis, who's smaller, and Greenwald, who's smaller. And those guys are moving around a little bit better. They're not as big, but I like the way they play.
But at the same time, if you get somebody like Kyrie Thornton coming at two lighter offensive linemen, if they're trying to pass protect.
Yeah, then you have the problem that Southern Miss was having with Jelly Bean. So, yeah.
You're danged if you do and you're danged if you don't.
And then my biggest question is, where is Larry Banks? Where's Josh Robinson? You know, I mean, golly, put somebody in there. But they're improving. I think the Graffrey addition at tackle has really helped kind of solidify that offensive line. But, yeah, I think next year you're talking about maybe going JUCO for Southern Miss at center. Well, Tech, you've got maybe Josh Brunson who's sitting out this year. And then the
Kirby Wixon.
Maybe Kirby Wixon. Yeah. Maybe Wixon plays guard. Cam Manning maybe will play center next year.
I think Kirby Wixon will go to guard, and I think that
Brunson
will play center. Let's take a break on the other side of the break. We'll give a little look at Conference USA football. I got a little ahead of myself, and we were supposed to do that in the first segment. We didn't do it. We'll do that in the second segment. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Oh, I was born, six gun in my hand. Behind.
Time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every week.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into what happened in Conference USA football last week.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762. Email your questions to radio at bleedtechblue.com or tweet your questions to at bleedtechblue with the hashtag BTBRadio.
When you look at last week, six games in the conference happened. Middle Tennessee blanked. Florida International 48-0. North Texas dominated UTEP 41-7. North Texas, to me, is the best team in the conference right now.
No, they're still not better than ECU. I completely disagree. They're still not better than ECU. ECU should be and could be at least a top 30 team, if not right there at number 25.
That's a fair point.
And they blew out Tulsa. So.
Those two teams yeah. deserve to be in Conference USA Championship game, East Carolina and North Texas.
Now, that I can agree with.
Marshall shellacked UAB 56-14. UTSA got away with one against Tulane 10-7. They didn't score a single point in the first half, scored 10 in the second half, and Tulane only scored 7 in the first half. Interesting game there. East Carolina all over Tulsa 58-24.
In that game, Shane Carden, senior quarterback for ECU, accounted for 7 touchdowns, new ECU record, 5 passing, 2 rushing, and if he's not the offensive player of the year for Conference USA, then I don't know who is.
He deserves it.
Maybe if Dixon had run for 300 yards in every game on the schedule after this.
For the next three? Yeah.
If Dixon goes for 300 for the next three, Tech's going 3-0.
So you're talking about ECU should be in – oh, yeah, no doubt. ECU should be in the conference title game. They did slip up at Tulane, lost in 3 by overtime. So that's not a bad
loss. Triple overtime.
Yeah, so not a bad loss at all. But Marshall –
and at the time, Tulane was
really good.
One of the hottest teams in the conference.
Yeah. But Marshall has only got one conference loss, and those two play each other at Marshall the last game of the regular season on a Friday night. So that's going to be an awesome game.
That will be a good one. The one that's the head scratcher to me is that Tulane UTSA game. I guess Nick Montana played. He was 18 for 33 for 199 yards, 54.5% completion percentage. He was sacked 3 times, threw 2 interceptions.
Right. He threw 2 interceptions.
That further proves my point that if you're a quarterback, you can't turn the ball over. If you're an offense, you can't turn the ball over.
But the Tulane defense was not bad in that game. They give up one big play and end up losing the game. UTSA made a 34-yard field goal with 14 seconds left or 10 seconds left or something like that to seal the victory.
18 seconds left.
Okay. Besides that, really, Tulane, they got over 100 yards out of Orleans Darkwa, and Nick Montana didn't play very well, but they could have won this ball game, and I'm sure it's frustrating for CJ down there in Tulane now dropping consecutive games.
And you look at they had 3 sacks all on Nick Montana, but only 5 yards lost to the sack. So those really didn't hurt you.
You know, that's interesting that you mentioned that because not long ago we did an Inside the Numbers piece on Louisiana Tech, the offense, not the defense, and we noted that Ryan Higgins is when he was in at quarterback, and obviously he wasn't in against Southern Miss, but also Scotty Young didn't give up a sack. Ryan is losing over 8 yards per sack, 18 on the season for a little over 160 yards. Just ridiculous.
How many times has Young been sacked?
4.
Now, granted, he hasn't played as many snaps. Just seems to have a better internal clock in his head. He knows when to get rid of it.
Well, the problem, he gets rid of it too early. And, he's in, especially against Lamar and Tulane, he's getting rid of it so quick that the running backs are catching the ball and getting leveled. And so that's why I think in the second half in this last game, he finally settled down and was able to make
the longer
throws.
Well, it's different play calls, too.
Yeah.
Well, the play calling was way better for him in the second half. He went 10 of 15 in the second half. But then again, in the second half, he only really suffers 1 drop. So if he 11 of 15 for 80 yards, no touchdowns, but again, no interceptions, no sacks.
And really, in the second half is when they leaned on the wild dog, wildcat. I'm going to call it the wildcat because I don't like the way wild dog sounds.
Yeah, well.
Wildcat with Kenneth Dixon, which you have to wonder why they didn't put that in last year. As good as he is at doing it, why in the world did that juggernaut of an offensive staff of last year, why didn't they do it?
Yeah, I mean, he played quarterback in high school, so he's used to having the ball in his hands. And you've got people like Tevin King, Hunter Lee, Lyle Feet, Andrew Guyot, anybody.
Tony Johnson at fullback.
Trent Taylor. You've got all these guys that can do
that. I love that guy.
Oh,
you know what, dude? I love a fullback, though.
Right.
But you've got all these quick guys, too, that are used to playing running back or at least having the ball in their hands. DJ Banks can do it. You know, they can run the sideways play. So if
jet sweep.
All he has to do is give it to him once in a while to keep him honest, and it works really well.
And Saturday he did give it to Hunter Lee for a touchdown, and then the very next time in the red zone, he kept it himself for a 6-yard touchdown run.
Oh yeah, and they had no idea where to go. I mean, he wasn't untouched, but it was close. He might as well have been.
You gotta wonder if you could use that formation an entire game.
Just depends. I mean,
you know,
just call me stupid if you want to call me stupid.
Well, no, I mean, if you put an extra blocker in, maybe, you know, Carter Street.
And dominate the time of possession.
Right. Exactly. If you could win the time of possession, I mean, it might be a 7-3 game. Well, but if you dominate
the team, a W,
it would look like
a W.
It would look like these Class C basketball schools that hold the ball for 2.5 minutes of possession.
That play four corners.
Exactly. That's what the game would look like. But
as long as he could complete 3 or 4 passes a game, you know, further than 2 yards to try to keep them honest. You know, if you put Big Eddie out there, Sterling Griffin, or have DeCluitt or somebody go deep. If he could just throw 1 or 2 deep passes a half just to keep them honest and make it look halfway functional, you know, I think it could work.
I just loved it. Let's take this break, and on the other side of the break, we will we'll talk a little bit more. Southern Miss. That's what we're going to talk about. Little Southern Miss, maybe a little Rice, because at 6:45 we're going to have Jefferson Powell from OwlInsider.com joining us to talk a little Rice, Louisiana Tech football. Stay with us. Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors. Then I guess we'll get into some Rice talk. We were just talking about pretty much all Rice in the break, so let's just go there.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762. Or, and I don't even know why we tell them this because they don't ever use it, but email radio@bleedtechblue.com.
It's available.
It is. It
used
is
to
available.
Be the one that they used the most.
Really?
So the last decade.
It used to be the one that was used the most.
Jason just said that was so last decade, but I'm sure you still use it.
I use it every day.
Oh, I am. I use email every day, but I'm talking about to communicate with the radio show.
This coming from the guy who doesn't know how to use the Twitter machine.
The tweeter.
Yeah, go tweet yourself.
haters gonna hate, right, Jason?
Oh man.
Let's look at this at this Rice team, especially statistical rankings inside the conference. We'll start with scoring offense. Rice ranks 5th in the conference at 27.2 points a game. Tech at 8th with 25 points per game. Scoring defense, Tech ranks 6th at 21.4 points per game. Rice 2nd at 19.4 points a game. Really where this Rice defense strives is at creating turnovers. They are, they're number 1 in the conference in turnover margin with +6, whereas Tech is 7th with +2. If Tech can hold on to the ball and not have any turnovers, this is going to be a completely different game. Wonder which quarterback will play for Tech.
One thing to note about the Rice defense is that they are dead last in the conference in sacks. They don't sack the quarterback.
They don't generate any pressure.
There's no pressure, but they do have 6 interceptions on the season.
They have good corners.
Right.
Tech's outside receivers aren't the strength of the offense. It's really the inside receivers.
Right.
And whenever you're not creating much pass rush, you should, emphasis on should, be able to have time and find an open receiver. You look at total offense and total defense. I think I went through those. Rushing offense, Rice is 8th. Tech is 7th. But Rice is, what did you say, 8th overall in this country? 18th overall in the country?
Yeah, 18th overall in the country, 223 yards.
They've got some games that are skewing those stats. They played New Mexico State, who might as well be FCS.
Yeah, 223 a game.
And they ran for 470 yards on the ground.
Of course, Army's 330, number one.
They do have a running back in Charles Ross.
Who's a monster.
Senior, yeah. He's had 5 games over 100 yards this season out of the 7 that he has played in.
He's been hurt the last couple of games.
He missed the FAU game and the Tulsa game at the end of September and the beginning of October.
But he's been back since.
Yeah. North Texas, he puts up 101. UTEP, he puts 152. New Mexico State, 167.
But the team as a whole against New Mexico State was 470.
Right.
Which is crazy numbers. Pass offense, Louisiana Tech 8th and Rice 12th. At 182 yards per game for Rice and 198 yards a game for Tech. Rice likes to run the football. And believe it or not, for a team that likes to run the football, the time of possession ranking in the conference is not what I would think it would be. They are 11th out of 14 in time of possession.
Well, and I know they like to run the ball, but you know, I mentioned that 165 receiver, and just last week against UTEP, dude went off. He had, 4 catches, 185 yards, 3 touchdowns, long of 72. So he's definitely a big play guy. So you've got to respect that one receiver, if anything.
And which is that's a good thing that Tech has a long corner and a good cover corner in Adarius Barnes. I wish that Levander was going to be back. Because he really is the best cover corner of the bunch. He doesn't get as many picks, but he has a lot of deflected passes. Their third down conversions are really bad at 29%. Now, Tech's only at 34.9%, so they're not exactly great. The third down numbers really could be interesting in this game. I bet whoever has the largest, and this is pretty general. I mean, I sound like John Madden when I say this stupid statement, but
you're going to make it anyway.
I'm going to make it anyway. Pretty much all the time that this happens anyway. But whoever has the highest third down conversion percentage is probably going to win this game.
The team with the most points at the end of the game
will win.
Will win this game.
You play to win the game.
I do like that one. You do play to win the game. Anyway. Jason mentioned Jordan Taylor. Jordan Taylor, in conference play, is second in the conference in receiving yards per game with 81. He also has 4 touchdown grabs on just 20 receptions.
And three were last week.
So that's a guy to watch. Jordan, what was his last name?
Taylor.
Jordan Taylor. Number?
You said he's got 20 receptions in conference?
In conference play.
Okay, because he's got 40 overall. Okay. And then also, I was looking at the game log for the quarterback. I've noticed, too, in their
Taylor McCarg.
Yeah.
In their losses, Texas A&M, 2 interceptions. Kansas, he had 2 interceptions, and they still won, but it's Kansas. Houston, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception was a loss. And then North Texas, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. You turn him over, you got a chance to win. In games where he's not – where they win – UTEP 4-0, New Mexico State 1-0, San Antonio 1-0, Tulsa 2-1. So typically, if he's going to win the turnover battle, just as a quarterback, more touchdowns than turnovers, they typically win.
And Tech does too.
Right.
And that's just another, like you're saying, yes.
Hey, exactly.
It's a common trend, but hey, Tech, I mean, turnovers played a huge part in the Southern Miss game. And I want to bring up one stat about Southern Miss before we totally let them go. So, obviously,
it's over, Jason. It's over.
They've had our number throughout history. So the series is now 31-14. Sounds pretty bad. So I was looking it up. Before 1967, we were 6-20 against them. Owned us. Bradshaw gets here about this time. Since then, it's 8-11. So it's gotten a little better. The last three times they had played us, they had won by like 1 point or 2 points.
When you look at those records throughout the series, that school has an identity crisis. They have changed names about 5 times. Southern Miss has. It was like the Teachers College of Mississippi to begin with, and then it just changed names over and over and over again since then.
And people change names because they sound, anyway, Tech was Polytechnic Institute or whatever, and it sounded funny.
Lolly Polly.
Southern Arkansas was Southern State. You know, if you want to have a bigger, and they're still small, but now they changed their name to Southern Arkansas, you know. So people change their name. I mean, we know somebody that changes their name every decade, but I'm not going to say any names. But, yeah, I mean, Southern Miss definitely has
owned us. The views of Jason Jones are not necessarily shared by those at this station.
Hey, I didn't say any names. So, you know, Tech's 8-11 now against Southern Miss. So that's respectable, but hopefully this is going to start a streak. Kick them while they're down. Let's run a, you know, let's beat them for a few years here and really get on top of them now that we're in the same conference.
Rice is a game. Wait, let's. Are we due for a break? No, we've taken one. We're at 6:45. We are due for one. So I was getting ahead of it. Sorry. We were discussing this before the show started that this game on paper should be a good one, but you look at Vegas, like we always do every week, and Vegas says this game won't be close. 17-point underdogs are the Bulldogs.
The line opened at 15. It has since moved to 17 with an over-under
of 52.
52.
Same as the Southern Miss game.
Well, and maybe one reason for that, let's look at this. So you look at Tech's schedule, and Tech goes and beats Lamar, and everybody gets excited. We look at Tulane on paper, and then the second half, kind of a, you know, not a good thing, and you lose. Then you go and play well against Kansas, move the ball, get smashed at Army. Come back, beat UTEP, get excited about North Texas, looks good on paper, get smashed. So, Tech's beating up on the bad teams.
Didn't get smashed by UTEP. I mean, North Texas.
Yeah, but 28-13, it still wasn't a great performance. So, Tech's beating up on these bad teams, and we get our hopes up. But when you play these teams that have winning records that are just playing well,
yeah,
Tech hadn't stepped up and beaten a good team yet. So can this be the time? Will they rise to the occasion and put together their best game of the season? That's what it's going to take, and that's why they're underdogs by 17 points.
And as I always say, Vegas is good at what they do. Their lines are meant to get equal money from both sides. That is the object of those lines. Will the game could be – Tech could cover – but Tech could cover if they lose by 16.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tech's won 3 out of 4, beating up on Southern Miss, Florida International, UTEP. Playing a lot better. Can they carry that momentum on the road and beat a team with a winning record? This is a great shot. If Tech wants to go 6-6, you want to win this game. You get Tulsa next to get your sixth win. Because if you lose this one, beat Tulsa, you got 5 wins. You go on the road to Texas, San Antonio. I just feel like it's going to be really hard to get that last game. You know, you want to get it over. You want to get the extra win now.
Since you're not going to be with us through the entire show, Jason, 6:45, you're leaving. What's your prediction? We're bad at this. We all are. Minus last week, I did pretty well.
I'm going to say Rice 31-20.
That's right at the over-under. It's 52. 31-20.
It's 51.
I know, but it's right at it. I mean, it's not like
I thought you – I thought it's right at the over-under. It's 52. I was like, no, 20 plus 31 is 51.
I'm not good at math, but I can do that math. Yeah,
but I see what
literal.
I see what you're saying. Something that Vegas takes into account is the home team. And Rice is
– they played well at home lately.
Supposedly, they're 3-1 at home. Now, one of the games was to Houston, was against Houston in Houston. Both teams are from Houston. It was a neutral, quote, unquote, neutral location.
Well, and they've
was
got
that Reliant Stadium?
Yes, it was.
They've got 3 wins on the road, too.
Well, that's Houston's home field this year.
And their home but games, the too. They've only beat Florida Atlantic by 4.
Yeah, the teams that they beat at home were UTEP, FAU, and Kansas.
And they only beat Kansas by 9, only beat FAU by 4. So they're not necessarily dominating people at home.
Right, no, not great wins.
Unless it's UTEP, which they
45-7. Yeah, that was when Jordan Taylor had the 3 touchdowns, not last week.
Yeah, you're right. That was Rice.
He did have his 4th touchdown of the season against North Texas last week, and he only has 4 touchdowns on the season. So
Jordan Taylor, he's the guy to watch. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk with Jefferson Powell of OwlsInsider.com. Stay with us.
Catch more football talk with Denny Kennedy.
A 7 Nation Army couldn't hold me back. They're gonna rip it off.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Second time's a charm here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. On ESPN Radio 97.7, I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get to Jefferson on the CollegeSteel.com hotline.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Jefferson. Late notice from me. I'm sorry it was such a late notice, but thanks for coming and joining us today on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Oh, it's all good, man. You know I'm happy to help anytime I can.
Well, good deal. Well, you look at this game on paper and you think it would be closer than Vegas says it's going to be. So we'll get to your opinions of what you expect from Saturday. What's the biggest matchup you see that Rice will have an advantage over Louisiana Tech?
I'm going to say the ground game. And if you would have asked me at the beginning of the season, I would have thought that, you know, Rice is probably about where I would have expected them to be. But I really thought Louisiana Tech was going to have a much better record than they do. And I thought this was going to be a little bit more of a premier matchup than it is. So I'm a little disappointed. It's not what we were expecting, but hopefully we'll still see a good matchup.
Oh, there's no doubt. Everybody around Louisiana Tech thought this year was going to play out much differently than it has. And you know, Louisiana Tech, honestly, you say that the run offense of Rice being a big matchup against the rush defense of Louisiana Tech, and that's kind of a surprise for me when I look at the rushing defense numbers on the ConferenceUSA.com. Texas third in the conference in rush defense, giving up 125 yards on the ground. So that'll be interesting. If that happens, I will be kind of surprised. Although I see where you're coming from because Rice likes that option, and you look at what Tech did with the option against Army, and man, was it bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's their number one goal on offense is to come out and run the ball, try to establish that ground game. And the reason I kind of say that is what I'm expecting is because we've seen every week in and week out, you know, no matter who they're playing, you know, these teams come out and they bring people in the box. And, I mean, I have not seen a terrible rushing game from Rice this season.
They've just been real consistent.
Yeah, I mean that's probably their most consistent across the board is their ground game.
And then you look at a guy like Taylor McCarr, who's been around the program for a little while. 12 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That's not exactly awesome numbers for a veteran quarterback. Just talk about his play thus far through the season.
You know, the thing with McCarr is he's been kind of inconsistent, you know, to be honest. Earlier in the season, he had a little bit of struggles hitting receivers. You know, they've had, like I said, 8 teams coming down, bringing 8 people in the box. They've had man-to-man coverage, and they've got talented playmakers at receivers. And early in the season, he had opportunities to hit the receivers in stride, and it just seemed like we saw passes overthrown, passes underthrown. For whatever reason, he just couldn't find his rhythm. and get things going through the air. So it was fortunate for Rice, they did have a successful run game. It wasn't really until a few weeks ago when they really got the passing game going, and I think McCarg had 3 touchdown passes, threw for over 200 yards, but didn't really throw very many times. I think he only had 8 completions, threw for over 200 yards, and 3 of those 3 touchdowns to Jordan Taylor.
Yeah, Jordan Taylor is that go-to playmaking receiver for the Owls at 6'5", 210 pounds. I assume he is playing outside of at receiver, not inside, like in amongst those tight ends that Rice likes to use.
Yeah, he plays outside a lot. There's been a few times where they've brought him inside, but most of the time he's on the outside. And I tell you, he's really a guy that you have to pay attention to, especially if he gets that man-to-man coverage. Earlier in the season, I don't think that, and I don't know if it was the play calling or, you know, if it was just the decision making of Taylor McCarg, but it doesn't seem like earlier in the season they really tried to get the ball to him that much. And I was questioning, you know, I was trying to figure out what was going on. Why are they not getting him involved? And then it seems like the last couple of weeks they've really, you know, figured out that this guy has to be a part of our passing game if we're going to be successful.
How often do teams roll a safety over the top against Taylor?
I honestly haven't really seen it much this year. I mean, it seems like 90% of the time he's in man-to-man coverage, just because everybody's so focused on stopping that run game.
I expect Louisiana Tech to put a safety over the top against Taylor. I don't know that for a fact. I hope to talk to defensive coordinator Kim Dameron tomorrow and ask him just that, to try to get some help over the top. He's at 6'5". He can probably go up and get almost any jump ball.
Yeah, I mean, prior to the last 2 weeks, teams probably weren't that worried about him because, you know, they were struggling throwing the ball. And, like I said, it wasn't until the past couple of weeks where he really emerged as a legitimate threat again. So, I mean, we could see a difference, you know, this week and going forward. You know, maybe teams will, you know, bring some help over from the safety over the top. And, I mean, we'll see how it goes.
How's Rice's run defense been thus far? I'm sure you remember last year with Kenneth Dixon and the talent that he is. He's, of course, back and has gone for over 200 yards in 2 games this season, last week being one. How has the run defense been thus far?
It's been hit or miss. They've had some good games, and then they had some games where they were shredded. I think defensively for the Owls, that matchup specifically is probably going to be the biggest tell of the game. So I guess you could say, in my opinion, whichever team runs the ball better will probably come out on top. They're going to have their hands full with Kenneth Dixon. You know, he's a talented player. He's putting up some good numbers. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But I think that's going to be the biggest aspect of the game on defense for the Owls.
And the Owls, of course, lead the conference in turnover margin. Is it a little bit of them protecting the football on offense and then being a little ball hawks on defense? What is it?
Well, in the ground game, you know, they really don't give up too many fumbles. Most of the turnovers on offense have come from errant passes, and they don't pass as often as other schools, so that kind of brings down those numbers a little bit. And then defensively, you know, they've been kind of opportunistic at times. They've gotten some key fumble recoveries when they needed them, you know, when they were in close games. And then you have guys like Philip Gaines, who doesn't get tested very often, and, you know, when he does, you see him make a big play and get an interception to give the Owls some good momentum.
Well, Jefferson, I make everybody do this before they get off of Bleed Tech Blue Radio as a guest. Give me a prediction of what you think, a score prediction of Saturday.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I haven't really thought much about it.
We don't either, and we're awful at it.
I would say, if you put me on the spot, if I had to make a choice, I would probably say 24-20 Rice.
So that sounds about right. You know that? Can you believe Vegas has a 17-point line on this game?
Yeah, that seems like a bit much to me.
I've been looking at it all week, just expecting it to plummet downward, and it hasn't done anything but go up. It went from a 15.5 line to a 17. So it should be interesting Saturday. If Tech loses by 17, something has gone drastically wrong for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I tell you, you wouldn't be the only one surprised if that happened.
All right, Jefferson, thanks again for joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jefferson Powell, OwlInsider.com.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jefferson. Great interview with Jefferson. Good insight on the Owls. Let's take a break. On the other side of the break, we will talk a little Rice, maybe a little basketball. Oh, who knows? We're flying by the seat of our pants. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Backbeat, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every week.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. John didn't think I was going to talk. You can't see me over the monitor, I know. I'm just enjoying the tune. Brings me back. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get into a little basketball and more Rice talk.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email us your questions at radio@bleedtechblue.com.
Jared, were you surprised at his prediction?
No, I wasn't surprised at his prediction. He said everything that I was thinking. Rice, the most prolific part of Rice's offense is the running game. They've rushed for over 2,000 yards this season. He's most concerned about Louisiana Tech's rushing game with Kenneth Dixon. He expected this game to mean more than it does, with better records coming in on the part of Louisiana Tech. And then he called that it was going to be a 24-20 game and that whoever runs the ball better is going to win. And I completely agree with everything he said.
I put too much stock into what Vegas thinks and what Vegas is expecting. They're so rarely wrong that whenever you look at a 17-point line,
right.
I feel like I'm beating a dead horse today because I'm all over this point today. But how do they miss it by 13 points if it's 24-20?
Well, you know, when you look at the lines and you see one that is separated by over two touchdowns, you'd think
three possessions, really.
Yeah, you would think that one team is just, you know, absolutely more talented than the other, and that's really not the case. Rice is 6-3, Tech's 4-5. Rice is 4-1 in conference. Tech's 3-2. Rice's, you know, defense is top 50 in the country.
Their scoring defense is in the conference 19.4 points a game. Tech at 21.4 points a game.
And Louisiana Tech is in the top 50 in scoring defense also. It's strange. I don't know how else to explain the line that Vegas has put on this game. Also, 52 as an over-under. I know 52 was the over-under for the Southern Miss game, and I thought it was a little high. It turned out that it wasn't, but I don't know. Something just doesn't feel right.
Well, what's funny last week is that my prediction was 42-17, and people all over the Tech Drive message board on BleedTechBlue.com were making fun of me.
They thought you were being a little optimistic.
36-13.
Yeah, this is another dead horse that you're beating.
Is it dead yet?
Well, the people over the airwaves don't realize that it's dead because they haven't heard it quite so much as we have in studio during the breaks.
It's true. I was really close.
Yeah.
I'll beat it one more time, and it's over.
Maybe that's just someone who wasn't that close.
Said horse is dead. Right. You're probably just jealous.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is.
What was your prediction?
I have no idea.
You wrote it down.
I wrote down the predictions for the St. Mary's and Tech.
Oh, that's right.
And I was the only one right that St. Mary's would defeat Louisiana Tech.
So you're one game up in basketball.
Correct. It's a long season, I know.
We do need to keep up with those. That will be fun throughout the season.
That will be fun. And so far I've kept up with them through one game. So we'll see.
So does that mean that we need to start predicting every single basketball game?
Yes. I mean, we do have most of the time we'll have an opportunity to predict.
We will not have a show Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Louisiana Tech needed some space on the airwaves for the Skip Holtz show. Because there's a basketball, I think there's a Lady Texter game that Monday, and Skip Holtz's show will be on Tuesday during our time slot. So everybody enjoy your Thanksgiving. So we're going to probably have to predict multiple games per show, is what I'm getting at.
I don't think it'll be too hard. This week won't be hard.
Is it Centenary and who?
It's just Centenary.
D3 Centenary out of Shreveport. So that one, you're right. That one will not be too difficult. But you look back. Let's switch gears to basketball. Louisiana Tech fell on the road, 83-70. Was that the final?
Correct.
83-70 to St. Mary's in California. A game that the Bulldogs really dominated in the first half. We're up by as many, I believe, as 8. We're down by 4 or 5 at the half. In the second half, through 10 minutes, I think 19 team fouls have been called. Man, these rules are terrible.
Yeah, the hand-checking is just ridiculous.
And then if you're a post player, you can't put an arm bar on somebody to defend them. How in the heck do you defend in the post without putting your forearm in the back of the person in front of you?
I know. I agree. I mean, you have to – John is
demonstrating with his hands straight up in the air. But whenever you're Michael Kaiser and you're 6'9", 205, going up against – Waldo, who is 6'10", 280.
Right.
How does he defend that guy without putting an arm bar in him? He can't.
Front him.
And you front him, they put a pass over the top. They teardrop the pass, and he's got a dunk.
The rules are really frustrating. I know today they're doing the 24-hour college basketball tip-off. I heard an interesting statistic earlier. Games are averaging 55 fouls a game. And last year, they averaged 34. It's just ridiculous.
Well done, NCAA. Messing with a good thing again. That's what they do. That is what they're there for, I think, is to meddle. They don't know how to leave well enough alone, to put it in my mom's term.
Right.
From back in the day. We still don't really know it. Don't really completely know what that means.
Kind of like a lot of sugar for a dime. Personally, I think you're getting a good deal, you know? It's a lot of sugar for a dime.
Or lick a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
That's another good one.
I don't understand
either. We have digressed.
The free throw shooting of the Bulldogs, you know, my wife always tells me that free throws win ball games.
Yep.
And it's true. Louisiana Tech missed 12 free throws in the game, lost by 13 points. I mean, there it is, you know. They did shoot 11% from three in the second half. Didn't shoot much better in the first half, 37.5%.
And St. Mary's shot lights out from behind the arc.
Exactly. And we knew going into that game that Bo Levesque.
however
you say it.
We know it's not Levesque.
I thought that he was going to be a difference in the three-point but it really wasn't. He was 1 of 2. But Stephen Holt, 4 of 5. Kerry Carter, 2 of 3. And the St. Mary's shot 50% from three in both halves. And when you're shooting lights out like that, you know, it's tough to beat a team that's shooting so well.
When somebody shoots over 50% from the three-point line, they're hard to beat.
Exactly.
And that being said, Tech's in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Tech had, like Coach White said yesterday in his press conference after Coach Holtz and the football folks went, they had opportunities. And that was, he was frustrated to go. They had such a great opportunity to pad their resume for the for a tournament bid later, late in for March.
It came just short.
And they well, let's call it this. They squandered the opportunity.
Yeah, okay. I could agree with that. I mean,
he said they had, he had two players, I think, that he said that played, that he said played pretty, pretty good.
And I'm assuming
Chris Anderson.
He would be talking about Chris Anderson and Raheem Appleby.
Or he said three. Chris Anderson, Raheem Appleby, and Alex Hamilton. All three of them played, he said, pretty good.
And Raheem, I mean, not Raheem. Alex Hamilton wasn't, yeah, he was in foul trouble and, you know, fouled out. We all knew going into the game that Brad Waldo was going to be the guy that you needed to stop if you were Louisiana Tech. He played 30 minutes. He was 11 of 13 from the field. He was 6 of 8 from the free throw line. Scored 28 points. Had a couple of blocks. Had 8 rebounds. I mean, you can't ask for much more. And then, you know, today St. Mary's played Akron. And against Akron, same thing. Brad Waldo had another 20-plus point game.
And dare I say that Brad Waldo is the best big Tech will play all year?
Oh, probably so. Probably so. I know Oklahoma State is a talented team, but they're not known for their play down low. It's their guard play.
And they run. They want to be up-tempo just like Tech does. And right. Oklahoma's got a big as well. So that I don't think he's as good as Brad Waldo at St. Mary's. Brad Waldo literally is probably the best big Tech will play all season. Let's take this break in the show a little early so maybe we can actually fit the whole thing on a podcast this week. And we'll give our predictions of Centenary Louisiana Tech on the hardwood tomorrow inside the Thomas Assembly Center, the home opener. And then Louisiana Tech at Rice on the campus of Rice University Saturday in Houston. We'll be back right after this. She was struck down, it was her doom.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio for our final segment here on this about to be cold.
About to be
Tuesday night in Ruston. Low of in the 20s.
28 last time I looked.
Miserable. Make sure you got your flannel underwear ready for tonight, folks.
With your water faucets drip. Haley brought in her plants from the front porch. Brought in her flowers.
It's not gonna be that cold.
Be 28. Two nights in a row, it's going to be below freezing.
I would worry more about them tomorrow night than tonight. One night's not going to kill them.
Well, it's too late. They're already inside.
And I'm just such the horticulturalist.
Yeah.
Easy for me to say.
Actually, that was pretty difficult for you to say.
It was. I'm not good at that word.
Bleed Tape Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Let's go ahead and... You're one game up in basketball picks.
Indeed, I am.
Joe Dirt and I are one game back.
Typically, that's how that works.
Yep. Pretty sure, especially after one game.
Right. Yeah, you know.
It's tough math. Pretty sure everybody's going to pick the same team tomorrow. Louisiana Tech Centenary. Centenary, the D3. Former D1. Out of Shreve's boat. I'm going to say Tech wins by 30. I'm not going to pick the score.
Yeah.
Tech wins by 30.
I will also say Tech wins by 30.
You cheater.
No. I was thinking the same thing.
Tech by 30, and I think some caveats to it. The guard play will be much improved. I think Speedy has a good game. Raheem probably goes for 25. Alex goes for 17. Chris Anderson goes for
12 and 5.
Probably. Kaiser has 10 blocks. And I mean it. 10 blocks.
My
if they even get that close to the lane.
Right. I have my friends and I, Robbie Price used to play. He walked on at Tech last year. Was on the Tech basketball team, and he made a joke one night that Michael Kaiser averages 14 blocks a game. And now, anytime any of us say any kind of statistic, we're always like, "Oh, well, that's not impressive." Mike Kaiser has at least 14 of those every time he plays.
Well, in Robbie's defense, they may not be actual blocks, but the amount of shots that Mike Kaiser alters,
right,
is innumerable.
Oh, no argument here.
So, a little bit of in Robbie's defense.
What about Dirt? Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt.
Do you have a prediction, sir?
93-67, Louisiana.
He's going close to the 30 as well. A little less than 30. So we're all on par.
Yeah. Yeah. Shouldn't be close.
It should not be close. Let's talk a little bit more Rice before we get into those predictions. I really think Kenneth Dixon's going to go for, I'll call it 150. Tevin King will go for 75. Trent Taylor, I think, will be the leading receiver again. That guy, he just seems so comfortable in this offense already.
And
to think about his productivity as a true freshman, what is he going to look like as a senior?
Well, I'm glad that with this quarterback play, he's been able to have this kind of productivity as a true freshman. Imagine once a quarterback, either from these two or from the next class, gets comfortable in this offense and comfortable in Tony Peterson's offense. Imagine what Trent Taylor could do in that kind of setup.
I think the defensive line is going to be able to keep Rice at bay for the most part in the running game. I'm concerned about Jordan Taylor. Those big receivers always seem to have Tech's number.
The last time we were concerned about a big receiver, it was Quentin Payton from NC State, and Tech for the most part held him in check. Now that, of course, was with LaVander Liggins playing, and LaVander will not be playing against Rice.
And then to counter that point, I mean, Adarius Barnes played pretty well against some big receivers by Southern Miss.
Absolutely. And you read an interesting statistic earlier. Adarius Barnes now has 3 interceptions on the season, which was top 5 in the conference.
In conference games.
In conference games. So not bad at all. And Taylor McCarg has thrown 8 picks.
And he actually ranks 50th in the country with his 4 picks. So it's a good stat for a true sophomore. I'll go ahead and start the predictions off. We'll talk about some recruiting after we finish these predictions. I will say 32. No, not even that high. I kind of like where Jefferson was earlier. I like that score.
24-20 in favor of Rice.
I do like that score. I'll go 24-21.
In favor of
Rice.
The Owls. Yeah. I feel there's no way I'm going anywhere near the Vegas line of 17, and there's no way I'm going anywhere near the over-under of 52. That's not happening. I see it maybe being even a little
lower scoring.
A little bit lower scoring than you guys do. I'm going to take Rice 20-13.
Hey, even if it's 20-13, I it makes me want to beat my head on the wall, or at least pick up the phone and call the Venetian and ask them, what in the world do you think on that line?
I mean, I would be interested in hearing what their reasoning was behind it. 17 just seems like an awful lot.
That's the same score that Tech was favored against Southern Miss.
Right, and this is not, I mean,
isn't a Southern Miss Louisiana Tech
right
game. Neither one of these teams is a Southern Miss. Let's go ahead and say that, or a Southern Miss of modern day. Lord knows Southern Miss has had plenty of winning seasons in its tenure. And that's a nice segue into recruiting. Someone asked Coach Monken at Southern Miss if their record had hurt them in recruiting, and he basically said, "Not really, because they have such a history to sell. When they have won so much in the past, it's not a hard thing to sell that you can be part of something to get us back on track."
And something else you can offer is
playing time.
You're going to get on the field, and that's what every recruit wants to hear.
And you look at Louisiana Tech recruiting wise, they had a pretty good group of recruits on campus Saturday for the Southern Miss game. A lot of 2015 guys, and people were kind of concerned of why were there so many 2015 prospects this late in the year. Well, how often does Louisiana Tech have, is it 14 or 13 commits?
13.
How often does Tech have 13 commitments this late in the season? And it, the answer is it's never happened. So they only need 12 between now and February with, I would venture to say, 20 to 30, maybe 30 offers are outstanding, right. Probably 50, maybe upwards of 50, probably not even that many. So out of the 30, you better hope you can get 12 of them.
Oh, I mean, I don't have any doubt they'll get 12. This coaching staff has done a good job of recruiting to this point. I don't think anybody can look at the commits that they already have, the offers that they have out, and not be able to see that the direction that they're going, targeting, you know, tall receivers with length. They're targeting, you know, big linemen, you know, and then of course the speed backs. I don't have. It's pretty obvious, you know, when you look at it from. As far as looking at who they already have committed and then also looking at the offers that are out.
And you look at the offers that are outstanding, there's a couple to some running backs. I don't expect that Tech's going to take another running back in this class with Jared Kraft from Houghton already in the boat. Cameron McKnight out of Jackson, Louisiana and East Feliciana High School. He's listed as a running back, but Tech's probably looking at him as a receiver at 6'2", 220, or maybe even a linebacker. He's a three-star prospect, has lots of people on him, but I like Tech's chances at Mr. McKnight. He's somebody to watch out for. Another three-star prospect and a former Georgia Bulldog, Sanford Say. He's at Itawamba Community College in Fulton, Mississippi, a three-star, 5.6 Rivals rating, 6'2", 200-pound receiver.
And he also has offers from South Alabama and Southern Miss, schools that you would like to think Tech would be able to beat in recruiting.
That's one that I think that Tech will have in the bag in February, so you could add a three-star to their list. Terry Ngori out of Carthage, Texas, 6'3", 170-pound receiver. I like their chances at him as well. Then you look at the tight end slash the wide receiver for Louisiana Tech. They've got a couple of offers out, one to a guy in Longview, Texas, and Caleb Chumley, 6'6", 225. And then also Jerry Gibson, 6'4", 220 out of Theodore, Alabama. Those are a couple of guys to look out for. And if those guys don't work out, they had somebody in this weekend. His name was Stoney. His last name is escaping me. Was it Stoney Cole? What was it? Stoney was his first name. Stoney was 6'4", about 220. He's committed to New Mexico right now, but he told me this weekend that he does love Louisiana Tech, but they just haven't offered yet. So he's committed to the Lobos as of now. They could get him if they wanted him. Donovan Wilson in Shreveport should be their number one target right now, in my opinion. He's also, in my opinion, the best player in Shreveport. A safety at Woodlawn High School, 6 foot. He's probably 6'1", 180, three-star prospect. Really a prototypical free safety. Great range, can work a quarterback's eyes and really bait him into some throws that he knows where the ball's coming.
Unbelievable at Tech's camp.
He was the best player at camp in this summer.
Absolutely.
Tech will probably pick up one or two corners. They've got some offers out. Garrett Davis at Red Oak in Red Oak, Texas, and Nehemiah Wagner in Mesquite, Texas, some six-foot corners. They're trying to upgrade and get some more length at corner. Kevontae Lowry at Smackover, Arkansas, 6'4", 200-pound linebacker. He's a guy Tech has a good shot to land. Can really run, great speed for a linebacker. And then you really that's probably going to line it out. I mean, there's not a whole lot of spots left. Willie Wright, an offensive lineman down in Houston. Charlie Flores in Fort Worth, some offensive linemen. They're probably going to try to pick up a couple more offensive linemen in this class. But like I said, there's only 11 spots left, 12 spots left. There's not a whole lot of room left in the class. Will they oversign? Maybe. So, yeah, Jerry Gibson is the guy that I mentioned. He's the 6'4", 220 out of Theodore, Alabama. He and I imagine they want him and Caleb Chumley to really get some playmakers at that wide receiver position. That will be exciting if they can land both of those guys. Let's go ahead and end the show here. Thank you for listening to another edition of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back same time next week. Have a good week.
Been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jonathan Ford, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. Listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on ESPN 96.